Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we are studying the book of Romans, this epistle of Paul to the Romans, inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit for our benefit. Now, I want to emphasize again this truth, and that is that every part of God's Word is God's Word. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, whether it's history in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, whether it's teaching concerning salvation, whatever the teaching might be or whatever the historical facts might be, this is still God's Word. And because it's God's Word, we can absolutely rely upon it. We can depend upon it. We cannot depend upon the writings of man or the teachings of man, but we can absolutely depend upon the Word of God. And therefore, I would urge you, if you're one of these who is constantly reading the books of other people and depending upon what they think about the Bible, I would urge you to get into the Word of God itself. By God's Spirit, God can help you understand His Word and depend upon His Word. Now, I would say that I have many books in my library, but I've learned never to accept the teachings of man when they do not really compare with the teachings of the Word of God. In other words, I try to take the Word of God first, and this is my goal, even in reading the books of others. I try to take the Word of God and its purity, and if the books of others do not agree with the Word of God, then I reject the books of others. Now, I want to emphasize the importance of the study we are doing. This book of Romans is dealing with the important subject of salvation, God's salvation for all mankind. And the book divides, and we've already covered the first section rather thoroughly, the book divides between how is a lost man to stand before God and how is a lost man to be saved in standing before God. In other words, the first question would be, why is man lost in sin? And what is the problem of mankind? And the second question has to do, how can this problem be taken care of? And so we took the first section, 118 to 318, and now from 319 to 521, we are very slowly considering the whole matter of how is lost man to be saved. We talked about the fact that, first of all, that it's not through the law of Moses. It is entirely through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we talked about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that He is the means of salvation and the only means of salvation. He's the only one to whom we can go. There is no one else or no other thing we can depend upon for our salvation. Then we talked about, in the last message, God's salvation for all mankind, from chapter 3 of Romans, verse 27 to 31. Now today, in a very few minutes, I want to talk about the example of Abraham and his faith. I want to go clear back into the Old Testament with you, but I want to read about it from Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father did according to the flesh? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath no reason to glory, and not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then I want to go down to verse 8. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? No, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. I want to stop our reading right there. Now, there are several questions I want to answer in this message. First of all, I want to answer the question, why is Abraham such an important example to us? Abraham is commended not only in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, but also in Hebrews 11. A very long section is devoted to Abraham and his faith. Why is Abraham and why is his example so important to us? One of the things that's important about Abraham is this. Abraham came before the law, and he had no connection whatsoever with the law of Moses. Now, this is an answer to those who believe that the law somehow is a means of salvation, or at least must be added to the work of Christ as our means by which we can approach God in salvation. This is the answer to them, because Abraham had no connection whatsoever by the law. And yet before God, he was accepted. We note that probably Abraham had no indication whatsoever that the law would even ever be given by Moses. In other words, he didn't know who Moses was. He had only the one child when he was still living, and that was the child Isaac. And so Abraham had no indication whatsoever concerning the law. And in his coming to God, he came to God strictly by faith. And so this is very important. Now, the second thing we notice concerning his example, and that is, in spite of having no connection at all with the law of Moses, he still achieved righteousness before God. This passage taught us, as we went through this little passage that I have read today, this passage taught us that it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, before God, because he put his faith entirely in God, that he was counted righteous before God. And this is a very, very important truth. Abraham still achieved righteousness before God, and this showed that the law of Moses served another purpose altogether. In other words, if anyone could be saved apart from the law, then this means that the law is not the means of obtaining righteousness. The law has another purpose altogether. And that purpose was to show them their sinfulness. In other words, when God gave his law from heaven, the law was not intended to be the means of salvation, but it was to show these people continually, day by day, that they were hopeless, lost sinners before God, and that their blood sacrifices were very, very important to God. Every time they offered a blood sacrifice, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah himself, who would be the last great sacrifice for sins, but every time they offered a blood sacrifice, that blood sacrifice would be a picture of the Messiah who would someday come. Even hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, that Messiah would come. But it would give them hope that through that Messiah, they would have their righteousness. And so this was a picture for them. So the law of Moses served another purpose. This is what I'm trying to emphasize. Served another purpose altogether. Not the purpose of giving righteousness, but rather the purpose of leading them to the one who could give righteousness, of being that picture that they would follow of the coming Messiah and the work that he would do on the cross. And it also, of course, emphasizes, and I want to emphasize this truth again, that there would be righteousness entirely apart from the law. Righteousness could be obtained apart from the law, because that's a lesson and that's a message that God is giving to us today. We've seen this very clearly in Romans chapter 3 in the passages we've already read, that apart from the law is God's salvation given to mankind. Now, the second question that I want to answer is the question, what was the basis for his righteousness before God? Now, we don't know how much he knew of the coming Messiah. That promise had first been given to Adam, that someday there would be someone who would come who would bruise Satan. And this promise apparently was passed down through the generations. But we don't know how much Abraham actually knew of the coming Messiah. We do know, however, that Abraham offered sacrifices, beginning with Cain and Abel, or beginning with Abel, rather, because Cain didn't offer the proper sacrifices. Beginning with Abel, they began to offer blood sacrifices. We believe this was based on the promise given first to Adam concerning the one who would someday come and bruise the head of Satan. And so this sacrifice offered by Abel was an indication that they had some knowledge of the coming Messiah. The fact that Abraham offered sacrifices also indicates that he had some knowledge of the coming Messiah. And this knowledge was very, very important, even though it was very elementary knowledge. Even many of the Jews of the Old Testament did not have a great deal of knowledge until the book of Isaiah, for instance, was written. They did not understand perhaps everything concerning the Messiah, but they knew that the Messiah would come, he would be an offering for sin, and that they were looking forward to his coming. The main thing that we notice about this faith of Abraham was that his faith was entirely apart from any works or merit of his own. In other words, it was on this basis that God would give him a right standing with God, both for this life and for the life to come. And so, having the promises already given through Adam, having the example of those who were offering blood sacrifices as a picture of something that was to come, Abraham also completely put his faith in God for his righteousness and for his salvation, entirely apart from any works or merit of his own. Now we know as we study the life of Abraham that Abraham was not a perfect man. We know, for instance, that he lied several times to kings concerning he did not trust God, concerning the son that God had promised him. And he took, in fact, Hagar to be the father of a son, believing perhaps that God would substitute this one for the one whom God had promised. So Abraham was not a perfect man, but apparently he found righteousness and forgiveness of sins through his faith in God. And we also notice that God accepted his faith as a basis for God's relationship with him. Now, as God honored this man, he especially honored this man. This is brought out not only in the book of Romans, in chapter 4, the passage we have read, and in fact the entire chapter, but it's also brought out again in Hebrews chapter 11. And the scriptures commend him for this faith that he had. One other question I want to answer in closing. What is the relationship of Abraham to us today? Abraham's faith indicates several things to us. Even though he was the father of Israel, and all Israelites would be his descendants, he still has a spiritual relationship with all mankind as well. In other words, we are Gentiles. We are not Jewish people. We are Gentiles. And so we were not under the Gentile nation of the Old Testament. And even though he was the father of this nation, he still has a spiritual relationship with us. Though it is not fully mentioned in the text, his faith was not just related to his circumstances in Canaan, but has to do with right standing before God and eternal matters, and these are the things which concern us. In other words, if Abraham could be saved apart from the Old Testament law, the law given to the Jewish people, then we also can be saved in the same way. We can have God's salvation in exactly the same way. Therefore, Abraham, it is an example to us of trusting in God by faith for righteousness apart from any works or merit of his own. He's not only a proof that we can be saved apart from the law, but he's an example to us that we can come to God in the same way. Now, we in the New Testament, of course, have the absolutely full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know everything about him. We know everything he did. We know all of the teaching of the New Testament concerning how we are to come to him, in what manner we are to come to him, and everything. Abraham didn't have all of this knowledge, but nevertheless, he's an example to us that we can come to God in a simple matter by faith. Our faith doesn't need to be very complex. Even a child can understand the wonderful truths of salvation. Even a child can come to the Lord Jesus by faith. A child of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 in a very simple way can pray to the Lord Jesus and can simply ask the Lord Jesus to come into their hearts and save them from their sins and forgive them and give them a right relationship through him. And so he's an example to us as well. Romans chapter 4 verse 16 indicates the true value and example of his faith. And let's close with this passage of scripture. Therefore, it is by faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It's interesting that though he was the father of Israel, in this passage he is called the father of us all, because he's the example to us of how salvation can be obtained, righteousness can be obtained through faith. I want to close again with this admonition, this word of warning. That is, that if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, no matter how you might feel about yourselves, no matter how much you might have sought to use your own merit and your good works as a means of salvation, if you have not come to the Lord Jesus as a lost sinner to trust Him by faith for your salvation, then as far as God is concerned, you are still unworthy and you are lost in your sins. I want to say this very kindly, but I want to say it very intently, and that is that you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Before you go to be with Him, you need to have had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even as Abraham, trusted Him by faith, and come into this saving relationship through Him. May the Lord help you and bless you, each one.